I'm going to come from 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. I have the King James Version on the screen for you for those verses. Okay. I will turn around and read it because I have the New American Standard here, and many of you have the King James. The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, all valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow, skillful in war, 44,703 that all went out to war. And they made war with the Hagarites, with Jeter and Naphish and Nodab, and they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand and all that were with them. For they cried unto the Lord in battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word this morning, encourage our hearts and strengthen our faith. Lord, teach us to pray as the disciples ask. Teach us to pray effectively and fervently in such that we are praying for the things that you want so that we can see answers to our prayer. Teach us, Lord, not just how to pray, but teach us, Lord, what to pray and for what to pray. Lord, make us the type of people that can get our prayers answered. Teach us, Lord, to be righteous in your sight. So, Lord, use this time together to encourage your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, I've taken this passage, and it is, when I spoke last time, I spoke on when God is silent. How God answers prayer, how God speaks to us. And I told you I was working on a series on prayer. So this is a new piece to the puzzle. I don't know how many pieces there will be. I just, you know, this was what came up next. I was looking for something sort of like the Lord's Prayer, with lots of messages have been preached on the Lord's Prayer. So I was looking for something like that that would give us some outline, if you will, of what kind of prayer does God answer. So I'm not as much of a preacher as I am a teacher. In teaching, I get 3 hours to talk, you know, so I can talk all I want. In preaching, you don't get to explain everything. But let me give you a little thing in the beginning. When you do the Psalms of Sorrow, if I took you to one of the Psalms of Sorrow that has all of the elements of the Psalms of Sorrow, I could show you piece by piece how the psalm is put together. And it's great. I had the kids write their own Psalm of Sorrow for our Bible Institute. However, if you go to many of the other Psalms of Sorrow, the laments, you will not find all of the elements in each of them. You'll only find a few of the elements. Some of them have them all, most of them don't. Well, that's what's going on with this idea of prayer. There's some elements I'm going to discuss as we go through this particular passage that don't necessarily apply to all prayer. Because obviously, you know, this is men preparing to go off to battle. And sometimes we are in a spiritual warfare and you are praying about people going off to battle. But sometimes you're praying for health and for strength and for certain situations and praying for wisdom. So there are pieces of this that you can apply to that. There are pieces of this that would not necessarily apply. So I want to say that up front, that not all of these elements of the prayer that God answers will fit with every type of prayer, because there's intercessory prayer, there's prayer in worship, there's different prayers. So let's take a look at from this passage, and you don't have to turn to all of the verses if you don't want to, but I've been asked to go ahead and make a slideshow so that you can follow along. The first thing that these people had that got their prayer answered was that they had excellent character in the one that was praying. Now, I've often heard people say that the only prayer of the unrighteous that God hears is the prayer of faith for salvation. I don't necessarily agree that that's true, because I can give you examples of heathen kings that called out to God and God took away their judgment, or at least temporarily removed their judgment. So I'm not so sure that that's a true statement. The fact is, though, that if we are going to pray to God, God looks at the character of the person praying. These men in 1 Chronicles chapter 5:18 are described as valiant. Now, what does that really mean, a valiant man? It is a term that is attached to the whole idea of something that's of value. The valiant men were valuable. When you talk about an excellence, value and excellence, the terms to describe the Proverbs 31 woman, who can find a wife like her? Excellent. It's the same idea. This idea of excellence, the excellent wife, the excellent woman of Proverbs 31. Valiant, excellence. Excellence in character. The examined heart, one that's righteous. Let me take a look. For sake of time, I'm not going to turn to each, make you turn to all these verses, but I'll go quickly. In Proverbs, it says this. It says, "He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise." That's very nice, but that's not the verse, is it? Here he goes. "A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that's not good." I'm not in the right verse. 15:29. Ah, I found it. "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. You're looking for excellent character in the prayer. The righteous person. The righteous person, the one who does right before God. You wonder sometimes why the prayer meeting is sometimes the meeting that is less attended. Because when people's life is beginning to slip, that's one of the things that they don't feel as comfortable going to. Worship and prayer. But God listens to the prayer of the righteous. 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't want to make this a sword drill. I don't have so much after this, but the first one did. And this is a quote. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." The Lord, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. Excellent character. If we want to be, effective prayer warriors, we need to first be effective in our own personal life. In James chapter 5. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." So this is another prayer verse. Pray for one another for healing. And then listen to this. The King James puts it this way. "The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much." My translation, an effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. How much more can God use our prayer when we have an excellent character about us? God can use us. In Jeremiah 12:3, he says that his heart's attitude is toward the Lord. And then in 1 Peter, it says this, that we are to honor our wives. Why? Lest your prayers be hindered. So unrighteousness in our own life can lead to a hindrance to prayer. So first we need to work on our own character, an excellent character. and God will hear. All right. Second of all, we need to be equipped for the challenge. Now, all of these come from Ephesians chapter 6, and this is the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is a very common passage. And we have some of the same elements that are found in the armor of God found in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Let me just read this just for those who may not be as familiar with this passage. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with all with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. Now, the interesting comparison here is that 1 Chronicles chapter 5 is talking about men preparing for war, and Ephesians chapter 6 is the whole armor of God telling us that we are in a spiritual battle and are to be prepared for war. And the example is the armor and the tools of a Roman soldier. So that's why I thought it was appropriate that we could compare these two verses. So in chapter Ephesians 6:13, we have first of all the shield equipped for defense. Now, in the King James, it says buckler, which is a shield that you put on your arm. It's a shield. A shield preparing for defense as we are equipped for the challenge that we are placing before the Lord. This is, without preaching an entire message on the whole armor of God, the fact is we are in whether it's health or whether it's problems with people with their jobs or any circumstance we can think of, the enemy is always the same. The enemy is always the world, the flesh, and the devil. That was the conference I went to this week. Great messages on the issue of current events, what's going on in the world, and how the world, the flesh, and the devil are against us. The shield of faith helps us to guard ourselves against that that's coming at us. And even illness. Illness is a result of the fall. Illness is a result of sin. Not individual sin that you are sick because you sinned. It's because of Adam, the imputed unrighteousness that came with him. That we inherited sin in our nature. Just like righteousness is imputed by faith in Christ. Our sin came to us through Adam. But being equipped, we need to have the shield of faith. Second of all, being ready for the offense, the sword and the bow. The sword is the Word of God. We need to spend time in the Word of God so that God can bring to our remembrance the things that He's taught us. How can God bring to our remembrance something we've never read? How can God bring to our remembrance something we never knew? He brings to our remembrance these verses, these passages. When we need comfort and the Lord brings to us a verse that we remember, or a psalm, or a song, we need the sword. We need to spend time in the Word of God. The person who has an effective prayer life also has spent time with God in His Word. And finally, the last element that often is missed especially when you see the children's lessons on the armor of God. Many of those children's lessons, they have the armor, but they miss the last piece, which is the prayer. It's an, it's actually should be the beginning, because that's how it all starts. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, you'll find it's also at the end of the list of what they have. And so prayer is a part of our armor, of being equipped for the challenge that's placed us. So we have an excellent character and being equipped for the challenge by having the shield, by having the sword, and by being in prayer, spending time with God. Let me pause and do a little application here regarding what it means, what I'm trying to say about this. Let's say that you want to pray for someone who is wanting to be a missionary. It's a worthy thing. We do this all the time. We've known people very recently that have gone overseas to test the waters, to see if they could fit it in the ministry and things like that, and they've flown over for short-term missions and so forth. And people ask, will you pray with me about this? Thinking about what it is that I would like to do if I didn't have to be responsible for camp 24/7, what would I like to do with my time? Well, we won't talk about me. But let's talk about somebody else. Let's talk about the missionaries. If we're going to pray effectively for them, and if we're going to see God's answer to our prayers, a couple of things are going to have to happen. First of all, us as prayers, we have to have excellent character. God will listen to us as we preach. When you get a reference, and I get a reference for somebody, I had staff member give me another staff, not even a staff member. Yes, it was. It was a former staff member as a reference who was the same age. I'm sorry. That's no reference. If you're 15 and you're giving me a 15-year-old as your reference, that is very sad. You know? Your references mean a lot. You know? Who do you want praying for you? You want someone who's been with God, right? But being equipped for the challenge, praying for somebody to go on the mission field who has not done any of the things to equip themselves for that work. That is, that are they spending time in God's Word? They say they want to go over and do mission work. Well, what kind of mission work do you want to do? You want to do door-to-door evangelism? Have you tried it out here? It's easier here than it is there. Have you tried doing Bible studies in your home here? How are you going to start a Bible study at your home in some other country where you don't speak the language when you haven't done it here in your own home in America where you speak English, right? Have they prepared themselves? Are they equipped to go? You know, if God is going to answer our prayer, there has to be an equipping. And sometimes equipping is not the prayer, but the object of the prayer has to be the one who's being equipped for the work. I mean, are you going to want to hire somebody into a position, say it's a hired position, who has absolutely no experience, and just said, you know what I'd like to do? I would like to be your food service manager. Okay, so here you are at the park. You feed how many people here? I don't know. You probably feed at least 50 meals a day, right? Yeah, here you go. When's the last time you cooked for 50 people? Well, I don't really cook. Oh, you have no cooking experience? That's good. But I've always thought I would like to do. So maybe I'll do that. No. You want somebody who's equipped. First of all, you know, do they have the right tools? Have they got some experience on board? So if we're going to be effectively praying, then one of the things we have to do when we pray for these people that want us to pray for stuff, you know, somebody who says that they want to go into a writing ministry. Well, what have you written? Well, nothing yet. Okay. So that's the ministry you want me to pray for you. What have you done? Well, you know, so that's part of our prayer is being wise in our prayer. Are they equipped as well as are we equipped for God to answer? Next of all, experience in combat. They were skillful or practiced. Interesting, my message last week was on wisdom. That's because we just went through Proverbs in my class, and the term wisdom is also translated skillful. And in the women weavers for the original tabernacle. These were described as women who were skillful in weaving of the different materials. And that same term, skillful, is translated in Proverbs, wisdom. And the same is true of this interesting story, but it's a whole different message, of the man that was sent by Hiram from Tyre. And he had skill in copper and metals and fabrics and all manner of things, and could supervise the people who had skill in each of these things. Experienced in combat. These people in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 were men who were experienced, skilled in using their sword and their bow. You're going to pray for someone who wants to go out and do the work of God, and they say, well, I want to go out and be an itinerant preacher. Great. What have you taught lately? Have you taught? Have you start by teaching fifth graders in Sunday school? Start by getting up at the Lord's Supper and giving a word. Have you actually taught before you send somebody out onto the mission field or something? Have they shown that they have begun to work with what God has given them? So are they equipped for the challenge, and are they experienced in combat and what God would have them to do? And that's one of the things that we... And how do you apply that to... let me try to apply that to something in probably more familiar to you, is praying for people who are going into the hospital. The fact is, when you're praying and you're praying for the physician, you're praying... well, I've got a friend whose very dear friend is refusing surgery and so forth because she thinks God is going to heal her, meaning that she won't have to have surgery or anything. And really, we thought that she was probably going to die. But she had something else happen to her that got her in the hospital against her will, because she had an episode. She was in the hospital, and they did tests on her, and they discovered that her cancer appears to be encapsulated, that it is where it can be removed surgically. And she would probably go away from the surgery cancer-free. But she's still afraid to let them touch her and doesn't want them to use the word cancer in front of her. The fact is, God will heal her, and God's offered her a healing experience through surgery. God sometimes heals without surgery, but sometimes he uses them. We have robots for robotic surgery. We've got laparoscopes for surgery without a robot, but using cameras. And then we have the old-fashioned way. The fact is, sometimes somebody's too sick to be on the table for a long time under a robot. They need old-fashioned surgery. You know, you need to find a physician that is experienced with the equipment that he's using. You know, I remember, you know, every time these doctors learn a new skill, they have to go learn to do scope, or now they're learning to use robots. It takes them twice or three times as long the first time because it's brand new to them. They're not familiar with the equipment. They're learning. And so you get to be part of their learning curve. But, you know, you want somebody who knows the equipment. So they're equipped for the challenge. They're experienced in combat. So we want to pray that the Lord will lead them to a doctor who's experienced with their problem and experienced with the equipment he's using, and that he can bring health and strength to them. So that's using this, applying that way. And finally, expect God to answer. They were obedient in their action. They went to war. They got up and left. They went to war expecting that God was going to intervene for them. Naaman the leper is my example there. He says, listen, I can bathe in the rivers at home. Why do I want to go bathe in a river here? And they said, well, how hard is it just to do what the man has asked? So when he obeyed, God answered the prayer. Obedient answer preceded the answer to his prayer to be relieved of his leprosy. James says, a doer is blessed in what he does. We need to pray expecting God to answer. And the evidence of their faith was, and they trusted in him. So what did they have? They had a valiant heart. They had armor, and they had weapons. It seemed like they had all they needed to go into battle. But what they were lacking, of course, was they were lacking the blessing of God and God's power behind it. So they didn't trust. And this is a theme that we find. It starts in Deuteronomy and the rules to kings. Don't trust in chariots. Don't trust in horses. Don't multiply horses. Don't multiply chariots. That's what God says to the kings. Don't trust. There's a song from one of the Psalms that says, some trust in chariots, but I trust in the Lord our God. So they had this, but they didn't trust in their strength alone. They trusted in the Lord their God. And if we want our God to answer our prayer, we want to have excellent character, equipped for the challenge, experienced in combat, and finally expect God to come through. And He will. Father, we thank You for the time we've had in Your Word this morning. We pray that we will be effective prayers, that we can see our prayers answered. And as we pray for those we love, sometimes for health and strength, sometimes that they will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes for folks who want to go out and to serve You, help us, Lord, to use these principles in our prayers so we can see our prayers answered and see You come through for us. If there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, we pray that they will speak with one who is equipped to answer them, someone who is experienced or has done this kind of thing before, can show them from the Word of God how they can know they have eternal life and the righteousness of God by faith, and that they can expect You to save them based on their faith. Help us, Lord, to apply these truths to our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.